Good afternoon. Welcome to The Journey 8. I'm your host, Reverend Judy Hosner, and I invite you to sit back and take a few moments to breathe as we share this journey together.
Divine.
Well, good evening. And it is another Wednesday evening. And I am Reverend Judy Hosner. And this is The Journey 8. And that was yours truly from my Christmas album, Peace. And you'll be able to download those songs shortly from my Reverb Nation page, and hopefully from iTunes, if we can ever get our communication straight. So that was O Holy Night, and O Holy Night, it is pretty soon. I hope that you're enjoying the holiday season and that you're not going in too many directions trying to get that perfect present. I can give you my address if you want to get one for me. Anyway, so we're going to do our normal thing this week. Next week, of course, because it is Christmas Eve, I will not be on the air. But I will be returning 2 weeks because I will not be on the air on New Year's Eve either. That would make sense, wouldn't it? But we'll arrange to have either some previous shows or music or something for you. So we're going to start with our usual, which is some announcements. And as I just said, my album is done, finished, thank goodness. And we should have all the download information for you. If you're familiar with Reverb Nation's pages, you can search me on Reverb Nation and find me. And the music downloads are right there on the main page. So, another Christmas season. Yeah, tonight we have put together a interesting. I have a couple more songs I'll probably scatter in between to give my voice a rest. And I got a message that I think is quite interesting. It's, what are you waiting for this Christmas? Yeah. All right. So I don't have a lot of announcements today. Mostly that the website is coming so slowly, but there is some information that's been changed on it. It is accessible. It's not down anymore. You can go on it. And that's, of course, www.closerwalkwithyou.com. You can go there and pretty much find whatever you're looking for in relationship to the Journey 8. All right. So, oh boy, what a week, huh? It's like springtime here in North Carolina again. Been like 59 degrees today. That's so unusual. We get strange weather nowadays. Strange. Anyway, into the program we go, and today, our scripture reading is going to be from the book of Luke, which is the gospel that has the most information on the birth of the Christ and things that happened directly afterwards. So we're going to be in chapter 2, verses 22 through 38. Luke 2, 22-38. Luke is the third book in the New Testament. So they're towards the front. And of course, as usual, the scripture I read over the airwaves is always the, New International Version. And for those of you who are regulars, you know what I'm about to do. So let's do it together. Ready? And no, bus drivers, crane operators, truck or tractor drivers, aircraft pilots, train engineers, submarine captains, or anyone with a small bouncy dog in the front seat should divert their attention to find this passage right now. Wait until it is safe for you to do so. In the meantime, know that I am reading the right scripture for you today. I have been known to not do that, but trust me, I practiced. Everyone else, pull out your Bibles, Kindles, Nooks, iPads, iPods, iPhones, Androids, or any other smart or dumb device, and follow along with me as we read Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 38. And this is the story of Jesus being presented at the temple after his birth. I think about 6 weeks old he is. Okay, so when the time came for purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now I'm going to stop there for a second. Two doves or two young pigeons. Okay. I don't know. To me, that doesn't seem like they're equal. I mean, you got pretty doves and you got pigeons. But anyway, that's what they were allowed to do. Going further, we're in verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. God promised him for his righteousness that he would get to see the Messiah before he died. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simon took him up in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people, Israel." Now, before I finish this scripture, think about Joseph and Mary standing there, getting ready to, I guess, for lack of a better term, baptize their child. And this strange little old man comes up and swipes him out of Mary's arms, raises him up, and says, "Hey, I have fulfilled my life. I have now seen the Messiah." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Marveled is one good word, I guess. Then Simon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Okay, so verse 36. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe Asher. She was very old. She lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84 years old. That's old in those days. I mean, she never left the temple but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at the very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. So here we have two characters in this story of the Christ child that you don't really hear too much about, but they play a very important role in the story. You have Anna, who is a prophetess, and you have Simon. And both of them are getting on in years. Simon is basically waiting time out because God promised him he would see the Messiah before he died. So he's just kind of checking off his days. He's got his bucket list and everything's done except for this last item. You have Anna, who is a widow now, and spends her days fasting and praying day in, day out at the temple, waiting, of course, for the Messiah also. So, the title of tonight's message is, what are you waiting for this Christmas? We know what Simon was waiting for. We know what Anna was waiting for. So now we're going to turn the tables and ask, what are you waiting for this Christmas? What are you waiting for? Are you longing for anything? You know, what are you expecting to receive? What are you looking forward to? Anything special this Christmas? This year's been a hard one for a lot of us. And the world is getting to be a very crazy place. And so many people have come to me in the past week or two and said, wow, I'm just waiting for things to get better. Yeah, me too. But in the meantime, as we learn, like the Buddhist monks, to live in the present moment, we must take that deep breath and step out in our faith and know that the moment right now is all you have. Past is gone, future's not here yet. What you do with the current moment is so special. Yeah, so what are you looking forward to this holiday? I won't even say Christmas. This holiday season. So we have the Gospel of Luke, which Luke is always an interesting kind of guy. And we come across these two characters who make their appearance. You know, we haven't had any inkling about these two yet. They just kind of suddenly appear in the storyline. And one is this man named Simon. The other is this woman named Anna. And they don't appear. I mean, you won't ever see them in any nativity scene or on any Christmas cards. But they're significant in the first Christmas pageant, because both of these individuals are waiting for something so special. So here's Jesus already fulfilling prophecy, continuing to fulfill prophecy. And voila, Simon is dancing with joy and is ready to go off into the sunset. And Anna, you know, is saying, okay, this fasting thing works. Look, I've seen him. I know he's real. Yeah. So we're thinking, you know, they're inserted in this storyline mostly to give us an impact that, or an impression that, even though Jesus is born, the story is not over by any means. And his ministry started long before his ministry started. So here he is, just an infant of a few weeks old, and people are, yeah, well, this is great. I'm still amazed that a strange little guy can come and pull your baby out of your arms and, you know, you don't whack him one with something. So Mary must have had an inkling that this was, you know, cool. You know, she's pretty spiritual herself. So, yeah, That was it's always an interesting story for me. It's probably one of the neatest parts of the Christmas story for me, because you got two people who have dedicated their lives to one common thing, and within a whisper of the wind, their life changed. So, waiting for comfort? Simon was righteous, as the scripture said, righteous before the people of Israel. But when you look at that particular point in time, Israel wasn't, things weren't going too well for the Israelites. They hadn't had any great messages from God for many years. Big events like the Exodus. So they were under Roman rule. They lost their political independence and were living in fear of the capable, crafty, and cruel King Herod. That's three C's right there. Herod was just this notorious person that enjoyed almost to some degree creating situations of pain for people. It's kind of like, I have power and I'm going to show you. So crafty, cruel, and capable. Many were wondering if the Messiah would ever come. And you hear that in a lot of the Christmas songs. O come, Emmanuel. Are you ever going to come? Where are you? In verse 26, it tells us Simon had good reason for his hope and anticipation. It had been revealed to him. That means that he saw a vision or had a dream, or in some way the Holy Spirit touched him and said, "Dude, you're not going to die yet. I got one more thing to do, and then you can, run off into the sunset." So his expectation, Simon's expectation, was focused on this one thing, the comfort that Christ would bring him. Comforter, the title or the name Comforter was very synonymous and still is today with the Messiah. He's the great comforter. Kind of like one of those snuggy blankets, so it strikes me as kind of odd in a way that the desire to be comforted is a universal human need, yet so many of us in that desire for this sense of security, we struggle with loneliness, emptiness, insecurity, desperation. In fact, most people realize that the Christmas season is one of the major crisis times of the year for those who suffer from depression. Why? Because we're seeking comfort and not seeking it in the right places or in the right manner, and feel hopeless. So that's kind of an odd little thing happening there. It's the joyous season of the birth of Christ and all that, fulfillment of prophecy, but it's also this, strong need for us, even today, to be comforted, because they were hurt. The children of Israel were all scattered again and lost and under the rule of the Roman Empire this time instead of Egypt. And it was like deja vu for them. So, you know, here's again Mary and Joseph with, you know, baby Jesus, maybe 6 weeks old, trying to do the right thing, you know, trying to do their thing. They get interrupted. I'm sure Mary's already starting to get used to that. And this whole scene unfolds. And if you were watching this in a theater, here's all these people in the temple. The temple was always buzzing with people, you know, coming and going. And it's all these people. And in the midst of all that, you've got this thing with Simon and Anna. And you wonder how many people heard what they were saying and took what they said to heart. One will never know. So, anyway, before we go into the second thing, which is waiting for forgiveness, we're going to play another track from the album called Still, Still, Still. It's a German Christmas song.
Still, still, still.
Yeah, a lullaby. And someone asked me a short time ago while I was compiling the final versions of these songs, why I pick the songs I pick. And as usual, I told them that I don't pick them. The God phone rings, and God picks them. I have a little bit to say about it since it's my voice, but Still, Still, Still is a very old German song, Christmas song, and like I said, it's basically a lullaby, as you can tell. And I have loved that song since I can remember. But it is a very difficult song, almost as difficult as Ave Maria, to sing because it's changing, it's moving from one chord to another. And if you aren't careful, you can go very flat. So I worked on that for 4 months before we finally recorded it. So there we go, still, still, still. And we're going to move into the next part of What Are You Waiting for Christmas? Now, a lot of people say, I don't wait. I don't wait for people to forgive me or for me to forgive them. It's, you know, do or die. That's the way of the world. Now, Anna was waiting for forgiveness. Her husband died. She dedicated her life to fasting and praying in the temple. In fact, the Bible says that she never left the temple, but worshiped day and night. She could have filled all 360 slots of the Bible reading marathon herself, because she was always at church, never had to worry about who was going to read the scriptures. She was looking forward to the Messiah, but with a different take on it. Instead of looking for comfort, she was looking for forgiveness. You know, you look at the last verse of the scripture reading for today, and it says, coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. The word redemption, of course, is related to the idea of captivity. You hear it all the time in the Old Testament. And the Old Testament Passover and the release of the Israelites from Egypt stood in Anna's day as the ultimate redemption. And even today, the Jewish nation, think of the freedom from Egypt and the Passover is the greatest story ever told. And it may be. You know, so here they are in Anna's day as the ultimate redemption and the symbol of God's power, his power to release somebody that's being captive. You know? So when Anna saw Jesus, she gave thanks to God and spoke of him to all who were waiting for the redemption. Here at last was the one who would save his people from their sins. So you got this woman, and mind you, it's very unusual back in that time for a woman to spend any significant time in the temple. That was not really a kosher thing. You know, women had other duties, home duties and things. And it was the men, the rabbis and the priests that spent their days at the temple discussing theological stuff, you know. This wasn't a woman's job, but here she is. And she plays the part of the intercessor for Israel, one hand, God the other. I'm going to stay here and be the link, the conduit. I'm going to pray day and night that, God, you're going to hear our prayers at some point and send us the Messiah you promised. And so, you know, her thing was forgiveness. You know, she wanted God's comfort, yes, and his forgiveness. You know, let me ask you a question. Okay, ask me a question. I have to play both parts here. What are you waiting for? As I said, what are you waiting for this Christmas? Whatever it is, Jesus can give it to you. If it is good and true, you know, God listens. Jesus is right there. What are you waiting for? How many of you identify with Simon? You know, some of you are really hurting right now. You feel lonely and empty, afraid, maxed out. One of my favorite terms, maxed out. I am like overflowing with stuff. I can't take another crazy thing to happen in my life. You know, do you need some comfort? Some counseling? Some consoling? You know, we're a fresh look at things. You know, sometimes you get so wrapped up in the stuff that we can't tear ourselves away and really look at the situation and solve it. I am not a good, and anyone who knows me can tell you this, I am not a good conflict resolutionist. Usually I take off and run as far as I can, which is not good for a minister. I am much better today than what I have been in the past with God's help, thank God. But I am hardly the person that can sit in the middle of an argument and just fight it out. I'd rather walk away and say whatever. You know, and a lot of that comes from the physical situation that I'm in, and, you know, stress doesn't do it any good. And a lot of it is just that the energy it takes for you and I to be in this conflict all the time is energy that is thrown away. That's like lighting a match to a bundle of dollar bills. Same difference, you know? So I've learned here recently that because I do identify with both of these characters in a certain way, that, you know, I draw my forgiveness for others from God. It surely doesn't come from me. And I think that the pain and the pattern of sin that comes into my life needs to be removed. So I ask for that. And I can think of no better time than Christmas to take that little walk, shall we say. You know, if you're struggling, if you're having a tough time, if you're sliding, now is the time. Remember, you can't change the past and you can't live in the future. All you have is this moment that you just took a breath. And, you know, Christmas time is such a joyous time and has nothing to do with presents under the tree. It has to do with the smell of that tree and how it, you know, permeates the air at home and how it makes things just kind of roll off of you, you know? Don't you wish we had that feeling all year long? Yes. So when I thought about this passage and these things, you know, comfort and loneliness and stuff, I said, how can we, as just everyday kind of people, how do we turn things around? And how do we get the comfort and forgiveness we want at Christmas time? And so I came up with three, of course. And these are what I call action steps or action movement, whatever, that we can experience ourselves or do ourselves to bring us comfort and forgiveness, help us help ourselves to get to that place. And the first one is be a marveler. You know, become a marveler. When Joseph and Mary tried to process what was happening with this old man that just grabbed their baby out of their arms, they marveled at what was said about Jesus. Because I'm not certain, even 6 weeks after this child was born, that Mary and Joseph still believed what was happening. I think they still thought there was a chance to recover from this, you know, this shock. And they marveled at the courage that Simon showed. Are you a marveler? Can you be this Christmas? Are you too caught up in the busyness and stress of the season? You know, a lot of people tell me, I don't celebrate Christmas, put myself through all that stress. People bumping into me at Target and Walmart, and old ladies, you know, stepping on my toes in line, and kids yelling and screaming. Yeah. You know, how many of you have been running around because of the holidays or taking time to make Christmas a holy place? Well, I'm thinking the hands are going up on one side and not so much on the other side of the room. Yeah. Be a marveler. Now, have you heard the Christmas story so much that it no longer astonishes you? That it no longer, like, has this magic over you? I hope not, because that's a dangerous time to be in. Yeah. After a while, we kind of chill out on Christmas and turn off. Yeah. Here's a great idea. It didn't come from me. A friend of mine said, you know, here's what I would do if I was in Mary's place. I would pick one of the Christmas characters and put yourself in their sandals. So, be Joseph. Be the innkeeper. You know, be one of the cows in the stable. You know, one of the angels telling the shepherds the good news. Yeah. Play it out in your head. See if you can come up with the perfect person. Perfect person, there isn't one, but the perfect character that you would want to play out this season to keep you from going bonkers. Okay? And I think we're going to move into the last song before we go to number two. And the last song is a song that was originally recorded by Point of Grace. It's called Emmanuel.
No decorations, no tree with tinsel, no. It's the first time she is all alone, but what a wonder, she says there's comfort. Emmanuel,
Yeah, he hasn't left us. He's right here. Always has been, always will be. You know, I picked that song other than the fact that I love Point of Grace, is that it has that tone of, you know, all you have to do is look. All you have to do is look. Okay, so for action step number two, we're going to say become a mover. Okay, action step number one, just to remind you, is be a marveler, be marvelous, marvelous, fabulous. Action step number two, be a mover, become a mover. You know, both Simon and Anna were movers. When the Holy Spirit prompted them, they moved. They didn't sit still and ponder it. I wonder what would have happened had they not responded. You know, when you think of the Christmas story and all the characters, the angels and the shepherds and the wise man and so on and so forth, they all responded to the message spiritually that was given to them, with the exception of Herod, of course. But, you know, the core group were all movers. They all did something. Mary was ready to move when she said to the angel, "May it be to me as you have said." That was a big deal. Having a baby out of wedlock, Joseph demonstrated that he was a mover when he woke up from his dream and said, "Yeah, the angel said for me to do this, so I'm doing it," because he could have easily turned his back on Mary and said, "Be gone, see ya." Movers, they did what was asked of them. Shepherds were movers because they're out in the field somewhere in the back 40 acres. And after the angels came to give them a little concert and stuff, They said, let's go to Bethlehem, see what's happening. Yeah. The wise men saw the star, and they could have sat back in their chairs, wherever they came from, and just said, wow, what a great star. Cool. Shiny. But they didn't. When God prompts you to do something, and you know, I'm telling you, there isn't a person that's listening, all 12 of you, you know when God is prompting you to do something because he never hangs up the phone until you do whatever it is he's asking of you. Yeah. You don't have this sense of, well, okay, God's prompting me to do this someday. No, you have this burning desire to get it done, Noah and the ark, you know. It might mean salvation for some of you. It might mean full surrender for others. Or maybe the Spirit just wants you to be more involved in serving people, diakonos, deacons. You know? And if you don't move, if you procrastinate, you put it off, you find excuses not to do what you're being asked to do, you're the one who's going to miss out on a miracle. You're the one. Fred next door, he's just no big deal to him. You're the one. You know, it's not really a joyful Christmas greeting, is it? Hey, my name is Judy, and I missed out on another miracle because I had to stop and think about something for a while, and opportunity gone. The truth is, this is my truth, Christmas splits people into two camps. You know, because here's Jesus. Now he's fully human, fully spiritual. And he's literally in his being born long before he had power, let's say. Christmas got split. The people involved, of course, wasn't called Christmas, but were split into two camps. The doers, movers, marvels, you know, and those who sat on the sidelines. You know, become a messenger. It's the third thing. It's like these shepherds, you know, we got to go to Bethlehem and see what's going on. You know, the wise men. Wow, this is a great thing. Yeah. Look at it this way. Maybe their anticipation and longings really represent an inner search for comfort and forgiveness. Yeah. Those things that only the Messiah can provide. God wants each of us to become messengers of his word too. So messengers, someone who is blown away by this whole concept of a Messiah, you know, someone who is a mover, who can get from point A to point B without it being a lot of crazy thought process, as I call it, analysis paralysis. Yeah. So there you go. Yeah. Be a marveler. Be a mover. Yeah. Find out what it is you have been waiting for. Come to grips with it and then say, what can I do to make it happen? How do I make this happen? And ask for help and he'll bring it to you. Yes. All right, amen. Grace and peace, and I will see you in 2 weeks. Thank you for listening to The Journey 8, and please come back and join us again. Remember, be kind in all you do, and the kindness will come back to you. Grace and peace, Judy Hasner.